Good morning. Good morning to each of us. I greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I do need your prayers. I just confessed to Brother Dan that my notes are at home. But as going back in my thinking, when Brother Dan called me the other day to speak this morning about the first of the month, one of the first things that came to my mind when I was trying to find something that I could talk to you about, there was two thoughts that came to my mind. Maybe you all remember when just a few Sundays ago, Brother Rusty Granger preached to us about time. The time is just not 60 seconds a minute or 60 minutes to the hour or 24 hours to a day. It's not just 7 days in a week or about 30 days in a month. It can be an incident in time, an incident, a happening, a circumstance, a condition. And then from that, my thought went to, what is our desire? What is that we are looking for? We're looking for the coming of Christ and for his gospel. But then there was another thought came to me too. It took me back to about 1970. I just changed my employment from being a lineman to a service. Can't even think of what I was doing now. been so long ago, but anyway, to a relay man. The relay department, where we maintained all the electrical equipment, automatic equipment for the generators and the substations and things like this. Something completely new to me. In fact, as I've said before, I had to learn a new language. The words weren't like words that I could understand. I remember one thing, one of the young fellows came in about the same time I did. He was out, they gave us about 6 months to teach us what we're supposed to know before we pass our test. And anyway, as he was reading his book, he came across a term called pickup. He said, well, what is pickup? That was the question, what is pickup? And he looked in the dictionary, and one of them was to, you're inviting a young lady at the street corner to go with you as a pickup. But he's just pretty sure that wasn't what they was talking about in the book. And so he went ahead and studied. We finally found out a pickup is the time when you have noticed your electrical meters that register the power that you take out. You got a little disc in there that rotates, and most of our relays are built on that same principle. And when that disc rotates around so far, it makes a contact and causes something to happen. That's the value of current it takes to pick up that relay to make up that called pickup. Anyway, at this particular time when I was two was in my training program, my supervisor, senior man with me, said he handed me a relay and said, clean this relay up. And I looked at it, and this little disc in there was covered up by a nameplate. I couldn't get into it at all. He said, clean that magnet out where that disc rotates through. I looked at it for a little while and said, Art, I can't. He took it from me and said, a relay man never says, I can't. Remember that. A relay never man says, I can't. And I think that's a good reason that it came to my mind today. If I was able to say I can't, I would be back. I'd go back and sit down. But God willing, and with your prayers and mine, I pray that God will give me the words that I should say. As I said, I thought the thing we're all looking forward is the second coming of Christ, and that was the question of the apostles. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, when Christ had really completed much of his ministry, and as he was with his apostles, he had been into the temple there in Jerusalem and showed them the magnificence of it and how good it was. And it said in the 24th chapter of Matthew, second verse, and Jesus said unto them, see not all these things? Verily, verily, I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as they sat upon the mountain of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be thy sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that be not troubled. For these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. We have had a low here and a low there. Not only people saying that Christ has come or he's the Son of God, but we've had those come and said that they themselves was Christ and sent with a message. We've seen that happen. And we hear of wars and rumors of wars. It seems like there's no end to it. In fact, my Time magazine came the other day and it said we're fighting in a war that was, they're training men to fight in that war that was started before they were even born. And it's a war that will probably never end, will be on forever. Nations shall rise against kingdom, nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in diverse places. And these things are the beginning of sorrows. Can you imagine that? What we're seeing now is just the beginning of our sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated above all nations for the name's sake. Now he's talking to the Jews. In the southern kingdom was just two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, and some of Manasseh. He said, they shall be hated by all nations for his name's sake. And they may be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because of iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And I think we're all pretty much aware of the iniquities that's going on in the world today. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Yes, we know that the gospel being taught, not only this gospel, but gospels, many of them. There are many, many gospels being taught in all the nations of the world. But we know that the gospel that God has given us is also being taught in many of the far-off lands of the world. When ye shall therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. I'm going to read that again because this is the basis of what I'm going to talk about the rest of the time. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in a holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Now, what did that say to us? Did it say that we was to stand in the holy place? No, it's saying that when the abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, you take notice. Then let them which are in the mountain flee, Judea, flee into the mountains, and let them which are on the housetop come not down to take anything out of the house. Neither let them which are in the field return back to take their clothes. And woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. But pray that your flight be not winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation such was not since the world beginning of the world, to that this time nor ever shall be. And this is something else that I think we need to remember, this verse here, verse 22. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. We know that it is impossible. We know that it is possible for an entire nation to be wiped out. In fact, when those in the adult Sunday school class up here have been studying Joshua, when the children of Israel come out of Egypt to inherit the land of Canaan, it was inhabited by other people. And God annihilated them. Not just took them out by the might of his power, but he commanded them to go through with them like a lion among sheep and destroy the people of those lands that they might inherit it. If any man say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall be false Christs and false prophets, and there shall be great signs and wonders, and insomuch that if it were possible, they would deceive the very elect. Behold, I told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even to the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together. Remember the story that Brother Brian McIntyre told about when they went into Africa one time? That was one of the questions they asked of. What does that mean? And I'll read it again. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. And Brother McIntyre turned the question over to Brother Brickhouse. And evidently, God had given Brother Brickhouse the answer. Where the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. An eagle is a scavenger. The carcass is believers in Christ. So wherever the believers in Christ are, there are those that are going to try to deceive them and destroy them. That's what it said. So we need to be on our aware, our guard at all times, that we be not deceived, nor let ourselves be led into that way because of maybe a weakness of others, maybe a weakness of our own. And we have seen some of that throughout the years. It's heartbreaking to see people walk away because something maybe I said without thinking, or at least they took it wrong and left. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds in heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together the elect from the four corners of the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. I'm going to read on because I think it's all important. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender, yet putteth forth its leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, when ye shall see these things, know that ye are near, even at the door. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass until all things be fulfilled. What generation is he talking about? He sure wasn't talking about that generation he was living in. He's talking about the generation when you shall see the abomination of desolation stand in the holy place. It's still standing there. It's still standing there. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So why am I talking to you this morning about that if no man knows what time it's going to be? Because he's warning us as we go on through this chapter to be prepared to whatever the time will be, whether it's today, tomorrow, next month, next year, to always be prepared and ready. But it said, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven, but only God himself. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For the days that were before the flood were, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. Know ye not until the flood came, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall it be also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and one in the, shall be taken, and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken, and the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known that watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not had let his house suffer to be broken up. Going into the next chapter, it says, and the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. That's in the 25th chapter of Matthew. And five of them were wise, and five were foolish. They were for foolish, took their lamps, and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their lamps, in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. They all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry going out, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And then shall all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the wise answered and saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye thither to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man cometh. Like I said, my notes are at home, and I hope you're praying as well as I myself that God will give us the answer to the needs that we have this morning. But going back into that reading of the 24th chapter, he spoke there of a time. He said, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand ye in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. I'm going to go back to Daniel, like it says there. There's two readings in Daniel, in the 9th chapter and the 12th chapter. And I can't even find Daniel. There it is. The 9th chapter speaks of one time, and the 12th chapter speaks of a different time. You know, in the life of Christ, there's several important times in his life, his birth, his ministry, his death, and his second coming. We all know about his birth. We all know about his ministry and setting up the church. We know of his death, but we don't know his coming, second coming. And so we would search the ninth chapter of Daniel, because Daniel had been praying hard for to know the things that were going to come. He had been showing many things, but he was wanting to know when they all should take place. And so he had been praying about it. He said, at the beginning of thy, that's the 23rd verse of 9, said, beginning of thy supplications, the command went forth, and I am come to show thee, this angel Gabriel that came to him, that thou art greatly beloved, therefore unto understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring an everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and the prophecy, and to anoint the Holy One, anoint the Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, the streets shall be built again, and the wall shall tumble, be in troublesome times. Now at this time, when this was happened and given, Nebuchadnezzar had conquered the land of Israel and destroyed the temple completely. And it says, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem again, unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks, and the streets shall begin to be built again, and the wall in troublesome times. And after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people and the prince, that they shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And to the end of the war, desolation is determined. And then it goes ahead to tell about that the economy confirmed with 1 week. In the midst of the week, they shall cease. The sacrifices and abominations shall cease. Now, this is where I really needed my notes, because I had a lot of dates down, a lot of figuring. But because of the other thing that was given to me, he said, I will not say I can't. God willing, we will. The commandment of Cyrus, the king of Persia, you know, he was conquered by Nebuchadnezzar, and they lived for a short period of time. And Persia took over from Babylon, and Cyrus was in his first year was given the commandment to rebuild and restore Jerusalem. And that took place in about 691 B.C. It's kind of interesting the way it's written there, that it broke that down the time. You kind of wonder why it was that he said commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks. And then it's comma, and 62 weeks, the streets shall be built again in the wall in troublesome times. Going back, we find out that Cyrus made that proclamation in his first year as king of that area. For some reason or other, the commandment was just stored in the storage place. And it was quite some time later when it was finally dug up, and Cyrus then was king of the area, and he had it read, and he put it into effect. And he did send the people to Jerusalem to rebuild in 691 B.C. They did build, they didn't rebuild the temple, but they did not rebuild the gates and the walls. We have to read through all Ezra and Nehemiah to get that whole story of the big long reading that happened, and there's a lot of contention and strife, and it seems as though there was a little bit of jealousy because they feared that if the Jews were allowed to return back to Jerusalem and with their temple, that they would not pay customs to the king of Persia anymore. And they didn't want that. They wanted their money. And so they stopped the building of the walls. Apparently from this reading, they was able to build a temple in 7 weeks. 40. And by the way, there's seven days to a week, and 7 weeks would be 49 days, or 49 years, it was interpreted. And so it took them 49 years just to build the temple. And that's the reason it's separated, appears to me. But they did finally build the gate and finish it all. But the proclamation went out of 791. And it was from, if we take that 62 weeks, the 70 weeks and the 62 weeks, you come up with 434 days or some, no, that's 434 days, 344 years after this, three torns, after the 7 weeks. And so with the, it's 483 years then from the time the proclamation went out to when it was finished. And when you calculate that all out, it comes out about 11 A.D., 11 B.C., rather, I believe it is. Well, that don't really match anything, but it gets close. It says, after 62 weeks, the Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. That's after the 62 weeks. The Messiah, so the Messiah was come, and he was cut off in the midst of the week. And of course, we know that Christ was cut off in after his ministry, rather short, and his ministry only lasted about 3 years. It's actually his ministry. From the time he was baptized, at about the age of 30, his ministry only lasted about 3 years. Now going over to the 12th chapter of Matthew of Daniel, that is what I've heard a lot of questions and concerns about when Christ should come, and that's what Christ told the apostles, that no man knows that time. And yet here in Daniel, it gives us, in that 12th chapter, it gives us some of the times which we all, I think most of us assume that that's what it's telling us about. And we never can come up with the right answer. But somehow or another, God has given me a little bit of insight there. I don't know why, but you know, I've been working on this for 3 weeks at least, and I had a lot of figures, and all I got is my scribbling of dates and things. But what I actually wanted to say, I don't have that with me. I'm going to read the 12th chapter of Daniel. Again, he had been praying about these things that's going to happen. And then starting with the 8th verse there in the 12th chapter, where Daniel says, "And I heard, but understood not them not. Then I said, O my God, Lord, what shall the end of these things be? And he said, Go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed and sealed up. They are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Men shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand. But the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifices shall be taken away, an abomination of desolation set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days, 5 and 30 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days." I couldn't for the life of me understand why that if the first one, like the ...1,290 days was the Christ's second coming, what would be the means of waiting until 1,305 and 30 days? That's 1,290 days, but if you waited to 1,325 days, you'd be better off. And so I tried to calculate that out, and that's where I was very, very surprised. It says we don't know the end of the time, and that's not what it's telling me. It has nothing to do with the end of time. Maybe the end times, but not the end of time. Let's see. The abomination of desolation was set up in 691 A.D. when the Mosque of Omar was built on the exact spot of the Temple of Jerusalem. And that's the abomination of desolation. And so he's starting from that time, 691, from the time that was set up in 1,290 days. And that's 1,290 days. And that's in days, it's not weeks or months. And so that just got the days. And so at 1,290 years. And you add that to the 691, you know what year that is? 1981. That's not the figures I was really wanting to come up with. That's in the figures that I don't have with me. Apparently, I thought it was on this piece of paper, but I don't see it right now. Let me try this here. For some reason, I think God knows why, that so many of my figures was changed. It came up 1826. Do you know what happened in 1830? We have to add 4 years to that because Christ was born 4 BC, according to the records we have. Christ was not born in year one. He was born in 4 BC. So it was 1826. You add 4 years to that, you come up with 1830. You know what happened in 1830? That was the second chapter of Daniel. That he saw these kingdoms, and in the days of those kingdoms, the God of heaven will set up the kingdom which never be destroyed or left for other people. In 1830, the Church of Christ was established on April 6th, 1830. I said, then it'd be a better law if you waited to 1,335 days. And then that comes up 1871. And again, you got to add 4 days, so 1875. Well, I knew that I wouldn't find that in the Bible, so I went back to our church history. Since 1830 was the church history, I went back to the church history. In a period of time between 1869 started in 1869 when they started buying this property out here. Because by the time that they left it in 1833, until when they came back in 1867, the land was no more a farm, but it was turned in, given to the city of Independence and cut into city lots. And so they had to buy the lots as they became available. And it's a long story. I can't go through all of that, but it was a long story of how that those lots was transferred and bought and sold. And so in that period of time, or in the middle of that time, they was able to buy all 8 lots to make up the temple lot out here. It's kind of interesting to me that Daniel's prophecy points to this time, our forefathers' time, as part of the indication of the coming of the Christ. But that does not change what our responsibilities are. It makes me know that we are the Church of Christ. But we have a great responsibility. It told about the 5 wise and the 5 foolish virgins. The 5 foolish ones didn't have any oil for the lamps. I've heard conversation and discussion about what that oil is. That's faith. But John says faith without works is dead. Christ, when he came to this land, he told the people he wanted no more of their sacrifices and their burnt offerings, but what he wanted was a broken heart and a contrite spirit. A true, humble person is what he's asking for us. Not to be lifted up in our pride, because that has got us in trouble over the years, but be humble and faithful followers of Jesus Christ. It says the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our heart, might, mind, and strength, and the second one is to love our neighbor as ourself. We're told we're even to pray for our enemies. Not pray for God's judgment upon them, but to pray for them. A true, humble person is what God has asked us to be. I'm not saying you, it's us. It's us. be a true, humble people. Yes, God has given us much, and we need to be thankful for it, but that doesn't make us. It says, to whom much is given, much is required. And so Christ also said that our righteousness has to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. And of course, in their own eyes, they was the perfect people. But our righteousness has to exceed that, and to know of our nothingness and our dependence upon God for all things. That's what we need to do. It says that when Christ does come, that he'll be a surprise to all of us. It also tells us in Revelation that the church is a bride of Christ. And she is dressed in white, which is the righteousness of the saints. That's us. That's us, the bride of Christ. Who were the bridegrooms? Who is the wise and foolish virgins? I'll leave that up to you to figure that one out. I think it's just an example. But we know that we are members of the Church of Christ. It was about that time when we actually went back to the name of the Church of Christ, 1875, rather, when we actually went back to the name of the Church of Christ. We had migrated back, but because of the revelations that had been given and printed in the Doctrine and Covenants, even our people who came back from Illinois in 1867 had the Doctrine and Covenants because they did not have the Book of Commandments at that time. It took them years to get it. And when they did, they went back to what the first name of the church was, the Church of Christ. But just being a member of the Church of Christ is not enough. We had to be dressed in white garments, righteousness. And that's my message to you this morning. It doesn't make any difference what time it is. We don't know what time it is. It says it will be shortened. You know, in one place it's written that Christ would come in the medium of time. And of course, we take the time BC back to 4,000 BC. And so we presume that this AD would last about 4,000 AD. But he says that time will be shortened because if they didn't, there'd be no flesh saved. We do not know, but we do know that this church was restored according to prophecy, according to the will of God in 1830. And we see what happened to it. At the death of Joseph Smith, it was broke up into at least four different divisions, and now even more than that. But there's one little group besides that four that didn't go anywhere. They were living in Illinois, around Bloomington and Woodford County, clear over to Pavilion, Indiana. And they were the ones that came back and purchased his property in 1867 and thereabouts. So we got a lot to be thankful for, but we got a lot of responsibility. Now leave that with you, and if I have any questions, I probably can't answer them until I go home and get my notes. But I was surprised myself. I certainly wasn't looking for the answer that I got. And so I feel that God has given me that answer, that we are living in the last days. God bless you all, and may he increase our faith.